We're going to take a short break for one of our sponsors. I haven't tried this one, but it looks well worth checking out if weight loss has been an ongoing challenge for you. Robody pairs medication options with diet and exercise modifications to achieve your desired goal. Before being prescribed any medication, patients complete an online medical visit, lab test, and more to see if you're right for their program. You can sign up online, which means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Their data shows that average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/untangle. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 a month for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/untangle. Now, back to our show. We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny. He's smart. He's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to Untangle, the podcast from Five Star App Meditation Studio. I'm Patricia Karpus, co-founder of Meditation Studio and your host on Untangle, along with my co-host, Ariel Garten, one of the founders of Muse, the brain-sensing headband that helps you meditate. Join us each week as we introduce you to authors, experts, and thought leaders who share their stories on how meditation, mindfulness, and brain-focused practices have the power to change our lives. Whether you're just learning to meditate or want to deepen your practice, Meditation Studio with hundreds of guided meditations and Muse, which gives you real-time feedback during your practice, are two awesome tools you'll want to have in your back pocket. Now, here's today's interview hosted by Ariel.
There we go.
Let's rock.
Let's do it. What does that feel like?
Ecstasy. Hello. Today we're going to dive inside the head, the heart, and the lungs of Samantha Skelly. She is the super awesome founder of Hungry for Happiness and the Pause Breathwork Method. She's a best-selling author, she's a coach, an eating disorder expert, and a breathwork practitioner. You are going to absolutely love Samantha as she brings us into our lungs to understand the impact of breath on our lives and breath work on our practices. And she takes us into our bodies to understand how to live inside of them, how to inhabit them fully, and how to change our relationship with food, eating, and how it impacts our body and our self-esteem. I am so thrilled to be diving in today with Samantha. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so full of excitement and joy to have this conversation with you and just serve your audience on a deep level.
Welcome, welcome. So I would love to start with your story. I know we're going to go through a lot of topics today and you're going to educate us around breath work and what it really means, how it works, and how we can use it in our lives. But you came to this from a really fascinating angle. Please tell us your journey.
So I had such an interesting childhood. I grew up as a dancer and a child actress. So from a very, very young age, I was either in front of a camera or on a stage and constantly auditioning and just putting myself through a ton of rejection at a very, very, very young age. And it metabolized as a lot of unworthiness, a lot of I'm not good enough, a lot of just really questioning my innate self-worth. And I didn't realize the impact of being in those industries until I was about 18 years old. I decided to go traveling at 18 years old and have really find like, who am I? Like, who am I actually when I'm not on a stage? Who am I actually when I'm not in front of the camera? And when I was 18 years old, I developed a really, really horrible eating disorder. I did my first diet when I was 18 years old. So I was in Australia and I was on this beach and I had this moment of just fear, just like overcome with fear. And I'm like, I don't know who I am outside of dancing. I don't know who I am outside of being an actress. And then I had another wave of fear that was like, if you stop training and dancing, you're going to gain so much weight. And then what's going to happen? And I was just overcome with so much fear. So I can remember I was lying on the beach thinking to myself, okay, what's the action plan? What do I need to do? And so I started my first diet, which was the cabbage soup diet. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It was like, you basically just eat cabbage soup and for days and days and days on end. So I started that diet then. And over the next 4 years, I was on over 50 diets, had no idea how to eat.
Oh my God.
And I was so disconnected from my body. The two emotions I could feel in my body was just numbness, just like complete numbness or anxiety. I didn't experience the wide range and spectrum of emotionality. I had no idea. When people said, follow your intuition, I'm like, I don't feel anything in my body. I am so disconnected. And my mind and my head was constantly on overdrive. So during that time, I was also a personal trainer, which was completely out of alignment for me because I was trying to help people with health and fitness. And behind the scenes, I was just in the biggest battle with food and with my body. I constantly used food as a drug because I didn't understand how to handle the stress, the anxiety, the overwhelm, the depression that I would feel in my body on a daily basis. I can remember times when I would open my eyes in the morning and the first thought on my mind was, I can't wait to go to bed, because I was constantly just riddled with anxiety. So I got to a place when I was living in London, England, and I had opened up my first company, which was a personal training company. So we were training thousands of people all over London in the center with my personal training team. And I got to a place where I looked at what we were doing and I just thought to myself, people are not coming to us because they want to lose weight and whatever. Like, people want to feel fulfilled. They want to feel something. They want to feel alive. And they're putting band-aids on bullet wounds with restrictive dieting and over-exercising. And I was doing that as well. I was like, I'm part of the problem. So I moved back to Vancouver, to Canada, where I'm from. And I just began to look at the weight loss industry. And I thought to myself, here we have this $80 billion conglomerate that is marketing to people's insecurities, keeping them overweight, overwhelmed. And their marketing efforts are directly linked to their bottom lines. I'm like, this is so destructive. And the consumers of these products are creating stories around the fact that they're not good enough. They don't have the willpower to follow through, when fundamentally they are doing something that is flawed from the get-go. And I just got really angry about this. I got really angry at the state of what the weight loss industry was doing. So one of my mentors, she's like, you have to stop with the anger about it and try and break them down and just find a new way to educate the world, to release weight from a place of love and acceptance, not force and hatred. So I was
Whoa.
Like, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I was so angry. I was like, I just want to take down the weight loss industry. I hate what they're all doing. They're just doing it to make money. And I was just so angry. And I'm like, you know what, Sam, this anger is not going to transcend into anything productive. How can I be more empowering about my decision and my creations? So I spent 3 years working on my relationship to my body, working on my relationship to food with energetic and emotional tools. And I'll explain those
like
in a
what?
Little.
Yeah. Now we're also curious. What did you do?
So things like Reiki meditation, breath work, understanding visceral intelligence, understanding the sensations in my body and what they're trying to communicate. And I'll go deeper into that. What I was doing that was wrong was I was externalizing a very internal issue, meaning when I had my eating disorder, all of the doctors were telling me to pay attention to what I'm eating, make sure I get enough calories a day. And what that did was it ultimately just drove me deeper into my obsession. I was obsessing over the thing that was controlling me. What actually gave me freedom and allowed me to live in liberation when it came to food and really use food for health and hunger was understanding that the anxiety in my body is happening for me. Rather than taking food as a drug, I am going to feel through my emotions. I'm going to feel to heal. So we're feeling it versus feeding it. And so food is an innocent bystander, but we obsess over it because we think it's the problem.
Yeah.
And when we realize that it has nothing to do with food whatsoever, we're just projecting our anxiety and fear onto it, we can take emotional responsibility and we can learn the visceral feelings in our body and how they are a divine gift. So I took my journey into basically a curriculum, and that's what I now teach in Hungry for Happiness. So,
wow. So you were able to discover through food what people discover through so many different anxiety disorders, that Absolutely. What you are afraid of is not the thing. It is not the food. It is the anxiety. And once you change the relationship to the anxiety, you free yourself, and the food is just, the food just happens. The food is a byproduct because the food was never the problem. The anxiety was.
That's absolutely right. And it fundamentally has everything to do with changing the relationship we have to pain. We have a very dysfunctional and broken relationship to emotional pain in our bodies. We live in a society where we're constantly trying to distract it, numb it, suppress it, project it. We have
avoid.
Avoid. What can I do to get rid of this? It's like, no. That is the answer. The pain is the answer. The pain is the portal to the truth. How can we sit deeper in this discomfort, move all the way through it, so we find the lesson? When I experience anxiety in my body, I immediately ask myself, what are you here to teach me? What am I not seeing? What's out of alignment? It's a teacher, if we allow it to be.
So this resonates with me so, so deeply, because I went through a journey myself and ended up doing desensitization therapy, which is when you feel your fear in order to release yourself and free from it. And so just like anxiety and fear are one and the same, they're both facets of the same thing. And through the act of actually stopping and feeling the terrifying sensation that anxiety is, feeling it totally in your body, it then no longer rules you, which is so counterintuitive. Because what we're avoiding this entire time is just feeling the fear or feeling the anxiety. So we do everything in our power to not approach it. And when you just stop and let yourself feel the anxiety fully, let it rush through you, let it rise, let it fall, let it freak you the F out. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the other side of that and you're totally fine. And the world is just still there and you're still there and everything's okay. You realize that all of the power from that anxiety has been drained. All the power from the fear has been drained because you're no longer afraid of it, because you know you can handle it and you can get through to the other side.
Absolutely. Your body is not going to give you anything you can't handle. And here's something that helped me so much when I was going through this is identification versus observation. So I'll give you an example of what I mean by this. I used to tell the world and myself constantly, I am anxious, I am anxious, I am anxious, I am anxious, I am anxious. And I so deeply identified with the sensation of anxiety and I was terrified of it. So it was like, I was terrified of myself. When I shifted into this observer role, and I said, I am not my anxiety. It is something that I experience, and I can observe the sensations without attaching onto them and without being essentially addicted to the sensation. It flows through my systems with so much ease. Now, is it still painful? 100%. But when we're addicted to the feeling and we're attached to it and we identify with it and we make it a part of our blueprint and a part of our identity, it is so much harder to let go of. We as a society are addicted to suffering and addicted to struggling. We truly are. And when we can just simply say, here is something that I'm experiencing in my system and I'm observing it and it will flow through when I feel it fully, we release ourselves from the addiction.
Wow. So how do you practically take this and apply this to food, as is relevant both for men and women?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's so interesting. I am realizing more and more that eating disorders are so prevalent in men. They just don't.
We'll take a short break for one of our awesome sponsors, Born Shoes. I was so excited to try these cute casual sandals made with top quality leather, perfect for all the traveling that I do. They're so comfortable for walking anywhere. I know exactly why their tagline is, "Take comfort in Born shoes." Perfect. There are 5 new styles this spring, and I tried Ithaca and absolutely love them. But they also have boots and heels you should try. They feel as good as they look. Go to bornshoes.com today for a 15% discount plus ground shipping on all full price shoes when you use my promo code UNTANGLE. That's promo code UNTANGLE for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for just a limited time. Now, back to our show.
Talk about it. I was at the gym yesterday and I was just observing the men there. And, you know, there's men who are like super jacked and like, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I just realized, I said, a lot of that is a form of an eating disorder. Binge eating in men is very, very, very common, but it's more socially acceptable than in women. So eating disorders fundamentally are very prevalent in men. When we think of it, of eating issues, we think of just women. But the core of all of the disorders is so the same. The root of all of them are so the same. And so oftentimes it's like this inability to feel safe in our body. So we use food to get ourselves feeling comfort. Does that make sense?
So the inability to feel safe in your body, as in you don't want to feel the sensations or the experience of your body in this moment. So then you use food to comfort yourself. Food is the proxy.
Absolutely. And I think just as a whole, humans have an inability to just like land and ground and be here. And especially when we're working with brains, these reptilian brains that are looking for fear and looking for danger, we're sort of always on alert. And so it's more difficult given our makeup to just really know that we are so safe, no matter what, we're so safe. When we don't feel that safety in our bodies, then we go up to our brains and we start creating ways to feel safe, which gets us all spun out and overthinking. And so oftentimes we try and overthink how to heal an eating disorder. We overthink how to stop using food as a drug, when really the healing is within the feeling. The healing is in the body. A lot of people, when they're doing personal development, that's a very easy thing for them to default into. How can I think about feeling better versus how can I be embodied and feel into my system to feel better?
That's so poignant and so relevant and sounds so easy. And then people are sitting there thinking, okay, I'm not going to eat the food. So now what do I do? How do I feel safe in my body?
Okay, let's do it. Let's go there. So distraction is the easiest thing to do when we are avoiding pain. So when we were younger, we have these things that were developed in our system called protectors. What a protector did at a very young age is it protected us from feeling. So a very common protector that a lot of people have is avoidance. Rather than having the courageous conversation, they're just not going to do it because they don't want to lean in and feel it. They don't want to, maybe a relationship is scaring them, so they'll avoid, or a work situation is scary, so they'll avoid. And those protectors in us have worked really, 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 really hard to protect us at a very young age. And now that we're adults and we're evolved and we can make more informed decisions, we have to have awareness around these protectors. So using avoidance again, food is a form of avoidance. If we're sitting on the couch after a long day of work and we feel that, like, okay, I feel anxiety coming on, the brain goes, we need to protect ourselves from feeling this. Let's go to the freezer, get the Ben and Jerry's, eat the Ben and Jerry's so we don't feel this. In order to break that pattern and do opposite action, what we need to do is increase our capacity for experiencing emotional pain in our body. And how we do that is so simple, but the brain likes to complicate it. So it's the simplicity is in simply just sitting with ourselves with no distraction, feeling our anxiety, and also letting ourselves know we're safe to feel it. So this is called emotional balancing, when we can experience anxiety, and then we can also resource the part of our body that feels safe. So then we have two energies that are operating simultaneously, and we're observing both of them, and we're not attaching to them. So the moment you feel on the verge of binge eating to numb the emotion that you feel bubbling up and coming up, just slow down, use your breath, feel it, and tell yourself, I am so safe to feel this. I am so safe to be in my body. I am so safe to feel all the way through this. My body is not going to give me anything I can't handle. Use your breath, connect to the breath. The breath is the most beautiful thing to connect mind and body, head and heart. Feel your way through the sensation and ask yourself, what do you most need right now? And when we do a simple practice like that, we divert the impulse to want to use food as a drug.
So again, it sounds so simple and it sounds so beautiful. But I still imagine that there are people yet they're thinking, I can't do this on my own. How do I do this? That sounds terrifying.
So insert breath work.
Let's dive in.
So the fear and the I can't do this comes from evidence of your past when you didn't do it. When we use breath work in a continual, active, and conscious way, we begin to settle down the noise of the mind so we can listen to the voice of the body, the wisdom, the intelligence in our body. Our bodies are so much smarter than our minds. We just don't give them an ability to speak, and we just don't give them space to listen. So when you're in that phase of your mind's so loud and you're thinking to yourself, what did that podcast say again? Sam said to do something about like just being in my body. I want you to remember breath, continual and intentional breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. Just start with that. Super simple. Just don't stop. In through the nose, out through the mouth. In through the nose, out through the mouth. And as you're breathing, what you're doing is you're bringing in oxygen, and that oxygen is energy. You're replacing energy in your system. You're breathing out to become more connected. And in that process, the mind will quiet and you'll be able to be connected to your body more. When we're connected to our body more, we have communication. Connection creates communication. When our primary information source is our mind and that's all we're listening to, it's very difficult to just fight the mind. So we're sitting there and we're like trying to fight the mind, and it feels forceful. It feels stressful.
And the mind is fighting back, and the mind is saying, no, this is terrifying. Run away.
Because the mind is trying to keep us safe. So the mind is saying, the mind is saying, you've got anxiety. You're going to die. Something's going to happen. Somebody's going to kill you. And then our strategy, the ego strategy for getting out of that is food.
Or whatever your particular obsession is. This is relevant for a broad range of addictions and indulgences.
Absolutely. Any addiction, your flavor of the week, what is your vice? For so many people, it's social media, right? Pick up our phone. We're feeling anxious. Let me go on social media.
Yep. Which always helps, of course.
With whatever your thing is. So when we allow the breath to bypass the mind and we get into our body, we start to wake up and activate other points of connection. So rather than having, so remember what I said, connection creates communication. When we only have connection with the mind and that's all we're identified with, that's the only piece of communication and data and feedback that we're going to be given. When we use the breath and we open up other parts and energies and subtle bodies in our system, then we can start to hear other places. What is the heart saying? What is the intuition saying? Remembering we can feel two energies at once. We can feel the pain. We can feel the anxiety. We can feel the I'm not safe. I'm not worthy. And we can feel the part of us that feels safe. Oftentimes in personal development, we approach it with in a very black and white way. I'm either feeling good or I'm feeling bad. But there's so much complexity and beautiful vibrance to the human experience. We just need to pay attention and listen.
And ultimately what we're doing is we are retraining ourselves. You know, in the past, we're used to going down to this one path of anxiety and avoidance. We can retrain ourselves by both letting that anxiety and avoidance run its own course while maintaining the knowledge that we are safe, while holding these two thoughts simultaneously.
Absolutely.
I had an interesting experience about a month ago. I, as a psychotherapist, have a lot of experience with individuals having anxiety and panic disorder. Mm-hmm. And I was out on Canada Day and it was an incredibly hot day. It was a very, very crowded place that we were. I was standing there just trying to find shade, eating ice cream with my 3-year-old on my hip. And I turned around and the woman next to me was having a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably the first panic attack of her life. She didn't know what was going on. She was with a friend who didn't know what to do. And she was just repeating over and over again, "I think I'm going to die. I think I'm going to die."
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately just jumped into breath work.
Mm.
I said, follow my voice, follow my count. Breathe in, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 1, 2. Out, 1, 2, 3, 4. And holding my baby on my hip and dripping ice cream cone, within 2 minutes, she went from full-blown panic attack, thinking she was going to die, to fully regulated breathing, feeling normal, walking off to her friend.
It is
so powerful.
Every emotional state has a corresponding breath pattern. So if you were to observe her breath pattern when she was in that panic state, completely different to when she was in her relaxed, grounded, present state. So when we have awareness around the breath patterns and what is the corresponding emotion, then we get to ask ourselves, what do I want to feel right now? And how do I need to breathe to allow the body to understand that it's safe to relax? It's safe to surrender. It's safe to feel excited. It's quick. It's so quick.
And the breath literally educates the body. Mm-hmm. So in the same way as when you're anxious, you start to create a shallow breath. As you relax and you deepen your breath, mm-hmm. you're now sending signals to your body that everything's okay.
Yeah.
Actually, your breath, your diaphragm is attached to your vagus nerve. Mm-hmm. So as you breathe out, it actually tugs on your vagus nerve, increasing your vagal tone, i.e. the relaxation in your body, letting your body know it can go into rest and digest. So the actual act of deep belly breathing becomes a physiological signal to your body for relaxation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a breath pattern that we use at Pause. And I use this with my entire internal team. I use this anytime I'm feeling anxiety. Within 30 seconds, I can shift it. Should we do it?
Let's do it.
Okay.
This sounds like a very good tool to have in your back pocket.
It's so amazing. When we have the ability to shift our emotionality, to shift our behavior, that I believe is the pinnacle of self-mastery. If we cannot react from our emotions, but we can feel through them and get back to our true essence and act from our true essence, we can shift so many things in our life. So for instance, if I want to send a mean text to my boyfriend because he didn't take the garbage out or whatever the scenario is, I can just connect back into my breath, do this pattern that I'm about to teach you. And then I go, okay, I can come back into compassion. I can come back into understanding. I am not reacting from a place of fear and projection, but I am coming from a place of understanding and compassion. And that tool alone has allowed me to make just incredible decisions that are way more informed versus from emotion. So here's how we do it. We want to use just our mouth when we do this. It starts in the belly. It goes up to the chest and the exhale is really long out through the mouth. So it sounds like this. So when you're ready, just keep
in, in, out.
Yeah.
In,
so
in, out.
It's in, out. So belly, chest, exhale through the mouth.
Relaxing with each breath. Actually, my breath pattern, I can't even follow you because my breath pattern is naturally slowing as my body relaxes as I do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was in the belly, in the chest, out the mouth.
Out the mouth. There's two forms of so even now my state.
Can we do this once more?
Yeah, absolutely.
Give everybody the opportunity to really practice it so that you've got the tool and it's there when you need it.
All right, let's do it. 3, 2, 1.
Belly, chest, out. Belly, chest, out. Awesome.
So I want everyone to just notice their state. Now.
I am so chill. I'm like after yoga class, been upside down and downward dog for 10 minutes chill.
Yeah. It is the most powerful self-healing tool there is. I can say that with full confidence because
it's a pretty bold statement.
Let me say this again. It is the most powerful self-healing tool that I've experienced with all of the modalities that I've done over the last 10 years. And I say self-healing, and I want to be specific about that. When I say self-healing, I mean there is nothing or no one or no substance that we need in order to create the sensation. So it is powerful in the way that it bypasses the mind and allows us to get into the body. Meditation from this place, think about how much more powerful your meditations would be if you went right into meditation from this place.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. I feel very relaxed and very open. Can you talk a little bit of about the physiology of this and the physiology of breath work?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when we're doing breath work, there's a lot of sensations that are happening in the body. Now, the scientific research with breath work is so minimal at the moment because it is something that has so much emotional and energetic evidence. And so right now they're moving into more of the scientific why behind this phenomenon.
Would you be able to guide us through one more breathwork exercise?
Of course. Of course. All right. This one I love. I love doing this one before I go to bed. And as soon as I wake up, before I go to bed, I love to close out my day doing this practice because as soon as I do this, I feel like I go into my sleep just feeling I'm in this no mind state. And when I'm in this no mind state, I can settle into my meditation and then settle into sleep. And I have a much more sound sleep than I do this exact same practice as soon as I wake up in the morning. Sometimes I'll have a dream that makes me anxious and I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh, I'm already feeling like anxious and I just woke up. And so I'll do this exact practice that I'm going to teach you. And it clears my energy and just allows my brain to just go, okay, today is a new day and I'm not bringing forward anything from my dreams or yesterday. I get to create today exactly how I want it. And so I do the breath work into my meditation and then set my intention for the day. And that whole practice can be less than 10 minutes. So this is how we do it. What we want to do is we want to do 50 breaths just with the nose. So it sounds like this. Then we want to do 50 breaths right after, just using the mouth, sucking the belly in, the fire of breath, breath of fire, like we do in yoga, right? That's it. So 50 of those, sucking the belly in. Then we want to do 10 deep breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. And then what we want to do after those 10 breaths, we're going to take a deep breath in and hold our breath. I want you to, when you're holding your breath, just observe your mind when you're holding your breath, because your mind's going to say, okay, let it go. I don't want to do this anymore. Okay, we're done. The same sensation basically that we have when we're feeling pain, right? Like you talked about, like, don't feel it. Get out of it. Observe what the mind is doing as you're breathing and just ask yourself, just tell yourself, I'm safe. I'm so safe. Hold it for a little bit longer than you think is possible. And then find that place of ease after the chaos. That's the most beautiful thing about life, is if we can find those moments, and there's so many examples every single day, how can we just lean into the chaos and the pain enough to find the bliss? Doing this practice is a really beautiful example of that. Are we ready? Should we do this?
I'm ready. Let's find the bliss after the pain and the chaos.
Let's do it. All right. So 50 through the nose, just like that. 50, okay. Just using the mouth. And then 10 in through the nose, out through the mouth. After the 10th breath, we're going to breathe in, hold as long as we can, release. And when we release, just feel the aliveness in your body. Okay?
Everyone listening, you can just follow along with us. Breathe in and out through your nose for 50, in and out through your mouth for 50. We'll guide you along the way, and it'll be awesome.
There we go.
Let's rock.
Let's do it.
Through the mouth. Deep breaths in and out.
Five more. Deep breath in and hold. What does that feel like?
Ecstasy. For anyone who didn't try this, you can just rewind the last minute, whatever it was, and try it yourself. It's a really great tool to just zen out, so much better than, I don't know, a tequila and two beers, it feels like.
Yeah, get high off your own supply. Our tagline.
Your oxygen supplies, it was.
Yes. We are our own drug. Truly, we are our own drug. We have an infinite supply. We have an abundance of this energy and this access. And breathwork just shows us what we have access to. It shows us our essence. It shows us our divinity. It shows us what we're capable of feeling when we choose. Breathwork is the tool that alleviates the noise so we can just find the voice and the stillness.
Amazing. And the clarity.
And the clarity.
So my experience of doing that breathwork practice was immediately after I was completely zenned out. I wasn't kidding when I said, you know, beer and two tequilas or whatever I said. I can't even remember. Yeah. I was so chilled. And then came in this incredible clarity and focus. Mm. I now feel so alert and so aware.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
That is beautiful. The ability to shift your own physiology so dramatically within 1 minute is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful. I'm so committed to educating every human on the planet. Like this is you. This is what you got to do. This is what you got to feel. You are this energy, right? If we think about why we do anything in life, including having two tequilas and a beer, it's to feel something. So when we have such a immediate access to feel something and we use that every single day, we optimize for that feeling. We optimize for joy. We optimize for fulfillment, and we get to feel more of this more often. And I think that's just one of the most beautiful and profound gifts we can give ourselves.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing your gift today, Samantha. This is beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's such an honor. Thank you so much for having me here.
My joy and my pleasure. Can you tell us where to find more of you?
Absolutely. I have this, if you want this breath practice, an audio of it that you can do on your own, which is a little bit longer, you can go to hungryforhappiness.com/pause audio. I'm very active on Instagram. So if you do the audio and you want to share your experience with me, you can pop over to Instagram @SamanthaSkelly and send me a message. And I'd love to connect with you over there.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Samantha. And thank you for filling our lungs with air, our hearts with joy, and our heads with oxygen.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for the privilege.
Be well. That was the inspiring Samantha Skelly. That's Skelly, S-K-E-L-L-Y. You can find her at hungryforhappiness.com. And you can find the audio that she just guided us through at hungryforhappiness.com/pauseaudio. Now, if you're curious about your breath during meditation, Muse 2 gives you real-time feedback on your breath, your body, and your heart while you meditate, in addition to your mind. So you may have heard that the original Muse gives you real-time feedback on your brain, letting you literally hear what goes on in your mind while you meditate. Well, Muse 2 has sensors to track your heart. You can actually hear the beating of your heart like the beating of a drum, so that you tune your interoception, your ability to sensitively understand what goes on in your body. You can have guided breathing where you actually track your breath, and you can detect the movements of your body and help to find stillness in your body to enhance the stillness in your mind. So with Muse 2, you have a total mind-body meditation experience, tracking all of your senses in order to gain a deeper experience of your own meditation. To learn more about Muse 1 or Muse 2, you can go to choosemuse.com. And if you'd like to pick one up, like the hundreds of thousands of people that use it every day to learn more about their meditation and deepen their practice, you can use the discount code UNTANGLE15. Till next week, keep your neurons sparkling, keep your alveoli alive. Alveoli are the little things inside your lungs that actually dissolve the air into your bronchioles. Keep the blood flowing through your veins, and have an amazing week. Much love.